Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformation. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
This is Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, Inspirational Speaker, Performance Enhancement Expert, and author Sean Douglas. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all of our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. This show is heard in 28 countries, such as US, Brazil, Canada, France, Australia, and New Zealand. So thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here, we tell the story of why we are doing what we're doing. We highlight those transformational moments that changed our lives and how we are using these to help transform others and elevate lives around us. You can listen to us every Wednesday and on the first and third Fridays. On the show are impactful and amazing guests that are impacting everyone around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of the guests that are on the show, this is a live show if you're catching it live. So you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. If you're catching it on iTunes or Stitcher, go ahead and hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss out on any episodes. And help me welcome to the show, JJ Flazanes. How's it going?
Good, Sean. Thanks for having me.
I am super, super pumped to have you on the show. We met at New Media Summit back in San Diego, and I was just blown away at the amazing things that you have going on and how much you have going on. It's incredible.
Thanks. And exhausting. But I also teach about work-life balance, and sometimes I can also fall into that trap, which I'm trying not to do, and learn how to recover.
Yeah. I get my wife on one side going, hey, you're taking on too much. You're doing too – she's kind of like the alarm that goes off. She's like, okay, you're doing too much, so time to scale it back in, you know. So we got to kind of reel things back and, you know, reassess every month, you know, what's important and what's not important. So,
absolutely.
Yep. All right. So if you're ready to go, I am ready to get started.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do this. So this episode is entitled The Invisible Fitness Formula with JJ Flazanes. JJ is an empowerment strategist and the host of several podcast shows, including Fit to Love and Spirit, Purpose, and Energy. She is the director of Invisible Fitness, an Amazon best-selling author of Fit to Love, How to Get Physically, Emotionally, and Spiritually Fit to Attract the Love of Your Life, and the author of Knack Absolute Abs, Routines for a Fit and Firm Core. She was named Best Personal Trainer in Los Angeles for 2007 by Elite Traveler Magazine. JJ has been featured in many national magazines, including Shape, Fitness, Muscle and Fitness Hers, Elegant Bride, and Women's Health, as well as appeared on NBC, CBS, Fox 11, The CW, and KTLA. Her newest book, The Invisible Fitness Formula, 5 Secrets to Release Weight and End Body Shame, debuted at number 2 on the Amazon bestseller list for Women's Health and number 2 as a hot new release on May 18th, 2017. Her social media links are all in the show notes. You can contact her at facebook.com/JJ Flazanes, or she's on Instagram, she's on Twitter, and her website is all there. So that's awesome. Number 2 on the bestseller list, actually 2 bestseller lists. That's awesome. Good job.
Thank you. I worked hard for it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm just totally impressed at the way that you've approached everything. I mean, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Some people sometimes leave out that emotional aspect of it, and I absolutely love that you put those, because as a resiliency trainer, I see physically, emotional, spiritually. I'm like, yes, like, yes. So the first question I always ask is why. I think it's the most important question you always have to ask yourself every day. So what is your why? Why do you do what you do?
I am a really good problem solver, and I have a really large toolbox that I've been acquiring tools over the years. And so I always feel like I can help people not suffer and get to their goals easier and remove the blocks that they have that they can't see. So why I do it is because I, of course, know what that feels like to have a block and then to have clarity and to go, oh my God, it could have been so much easier, or why did I get stuck that long? Now, granted, at the same time, I do believe we all have our journey and the lessons that we have are very perfect for our timing, for our divine timing. So it's not that I'm trying to take someone off their path, but if they're on a path and they're beating their head against the wall because they can't figure something out, or, I mean, really simple solutions. I had a client last night, a coaching client, and she's very smart and she's very educated. And a couple things I've said to her, for her have been like, duh. I mean, for her, she said to me, it's amazing that I've never thought of that before, right? Just things like that, that can make the biggest shift. A little, little bit of advice. So why I do is because I love problem solving. I love matrix, love like a matrix. Yeah. I take every piece of your being, of your past, like literally from astrology to birth order to gender to where you grew up to what your belief systems are, all that stuff into consideration when I'm working with someone, because delivering information and finding solutions that are personalized to me are going to make the biggest impact. And when you mentioned about the fact that I do emotional stuff, how can you not? I mean, I know most people don't. I know how you cannot. You cannot, because it's painful. It's difficult. No one's taught you how to do it. You don't have a structure. You don't have a guide of easily figuring out, both on a logical side as well as on an emotional side, how to deal with emotions. And I have all of those things I just mentioned that people don't have. So I've learned these things. I've implemented these things. And to me, the bottom line of everything you do in life, everything from the fact that we're doing the show to the job that you have to the person you're with to the goals that you have, every single thing you do in your life is because you want a desired feeling. And if we can get clear about that, so when it comes to what I do in the fitness realm, and you know, when it comes to weight loss or body image or body shame, it's all emotional. So while there's a science on the top level, which I'm also very good at because I've learned it, and most trainers don't study the depth of all the sciences applied to the body to be able to understand when someone comes against a problem scientifically, being able to try to figure it out, right? Most people just repeat patterns and whatever the latest fad is, CrossFit, yoga fit, whatever. I mean, and so it's like, oh, that's the coolest next best thing. Let's just do that. Yep. Well, how about learning the science about, is that good for everybody? Should everybody be doing that? What do you want out of this? What are the risks? What are the benefits? So there's the top level science stuff, which I needed to learn from my own journey because I didn't think I was that smart. I knew that I was street smart for a long time, but I was very creative. I didn't think I was like brain smart actually for a long time until I started to get into the personal training world and learn about science. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, like I have a left brain that works. Like it's good. And I understand this because I can see it. It brought it into a physical body, these sciences, and now I can see it. So we have that top level science stuff. And that's probably why sometimes I lead a little bit more with education than I do with emotion, because I want you to know that I know what I'm talking about. So you trust me. And then we move into the emotional piece, which everybody has. Everyone has an emotion. Everyone has blocked and stuck energy. It's just part of living. And how do you deal with that? How do you get over that? So why? It's because I love problem solving. I'm good at it. I have equal right and left brain. And I want others to feel the freedom of unsticking themselves and finding those blind spots and being able to move forward.
Right. That's awesome. So you said something about the like the fads and everything. And there are. There's a couple that just immediately came to mind. Like there's like beer yoga, you know, where you like drink a beer doing yoga poses. And then there's like you said, the CrossFit's like super huge right now. CrossFit. There's a lot of that. How do you determine the path to go? I mean, it's not just going to the gym. It's not just eating right. I mean, how do you take what you want to get out of the exercise and apply it to your life properly. Do I do the yoga? Do I do CrossFit? So I just hit some weights. Like, how do you know what's best for you?
Let's see. Well, I would say that you like the client, the user, if you will, without any formal scientific education about the body and physics and things like that, don't necessarily know what's best for you when it comes to the application of force on your body for the desired result you want.
Right.
However, when it comes to what you're attracted to, what you like, there has to be, I believe, you have to discern that is what I like effective? Is what I like working? And if it is, then keep doing it. And at what point does it plateau? And what point is it not working? I mean, there are plenty of people who I've had very fit clients over the years who wanted to build muscle and lose body fat, and they were doing 90 minutes of hatha yoga 3 times a week because they liked yoga. But that's totally the wrong exercise to be doing to build muscle and burn body fat. Sorry. Right. But so again, if you like it, you can keep it. Just don't expect it to do something it doesn't do. So that's the balance there.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. So tell me who you were before you got to this point. You know, I'm sure it was a incredibly long journey, you know, going from, you know, where you started out at to the author and the podcast and being on shows. Like, who were you before you got to this point?
Well, I was someone who, like I said, didn't think she was very smart on the left brain side. Mm-hmm. I didn't really excel at math and science. I was fine. I got like A minuses and B pluses and Bs. I wasn't failing, but by any means, but it didn't come easily. And I wasn't the brainiac. I wasn't the genius at science and math. And so that, you know, tends to wear on your self-confidence a little bit. And I was really good at the communication and the English and the performing arts. I've been dancing and singing since I was 3. So that's where I went. I went on stage and I entertained and I expressed myself through acting, singing, and dancing. And when I went to college, I graduated, moved to New York City. I was already living in New York, but I'm originally from Pennsylvania. I did what, you know, actors do. I got a job at a restaurant. You know, like you do like the, what am I going to do to pay the bills while I'm waiting for my big break? All right. So the problem with that industry is just that. And, you know, what I learned over the years is that I'm not built that way. I'm built, I've got a ton of Sag in me. I am built to create opportunity, not to just look for it. So, and it's not create in a driving, forceful kind of way, just in a, because I want to be the boss kind of way, because I have a vision and I am efficient and I usually am detail oriented. And for the most part, I can do all these different skills. And so if I don't want to go out into the world and beg for a job, it just never felt like the right thing. However, I did it for a while. And, but I had left New York when I moved to California. I had really left New York kind of on a high. I had become sort of like the director of education for a major gym chain on the East Coast. I was sort of running a couple restaurants at the same time, like their front desk area. I had private clients, and I also was working for a software company based out of Australia that had their offices in San Diego, and their one client was the gym chain that I was associated with, and I was the account manager. So I had a lot of things going on, and I left New York pretty high. Like, I was very well known, very well respected, very well paid. And I came to LA sort of, you know, by myself, didn't know anybody, started over. Knew a few people, I shouldn't say that. Knew a few people, started over. And at some point when I went backwards to start working in a restaurant again, not as a manager, but as a server, it'd be funny. I'd walk into a restaurant and hand them my resume, and they'd immediately look at it and say, "We don't have any management positions open," without even asking me what I wanted. And I said, "I don't want to be a manager. I need flexibility. I need to go audition. I don't want to be a manager." And they'd like, "Well, okay." So one, it took me, I don't know, a month, 2 months, 3 months, maybe, of doing back to the grind of waiting tables. And I was like, this is ridiculous. So, so that I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm not doing this. And it just was that frustration that led me to asking myself, because here I was sitting in my apartment in Hollywood, looking at my 2 resumes. I had a really awesome acting resume. I had been to Carnegie Mellon to study. I had been to NYU to study film and television. I graduated from Syracuse University in the musical theater department. I had great teachers. I had done some commercials by this point. So I had a really good acting resume. Simultaneously, I'm on the other side. I was director of education for a major gym chain. I have great certifications. Yeah. I know a lot in the personal training realm. So I'm looking at these two resumes going, how do I make this work? How do I honor both sides of me and allow them to have life? And of course, I went to bed that night. It was like February of 2001. And I woke up with the idea of opening my own business. And I had never been an entrepreneur-minded person. I mean, as an actor, you are. I mean, you just have to admit right. that you're out there trying to get a job. But it's sure. it's a little different because you're not necessarily creating the job. You're just looking for it. But I'm very – but that started my entrepreneurial journey, and I opened a I ended up with a contract to open sort of a satellite office to an office that was in New York, and that happened in May mm-hmm. of 2001. Yeah, so that's how it all came to be. Wow. And so I was – it's all been blended, and at some point I stopped being mm-hmm. that interested in the auditions and more interested in my business. I'd always been passionate about personal training and the education and educating trainers, educating clients. But right. then I became less interested in commercial auditions and things like that. So it switched.
Perfect. Yeah. So looking back, what was your transformational moment? Was it going from New York to California, or was it deciding that, you know, I need to write these books, I needed to like double down on the fitness, and I need to, you know, like how did you get to that point that you're at right now in what you're doing with the podcast? And what was your transformational moment?
I've had a series of them. It's not just one. You know, I did yeah. a live show for a little while called – yeah, well, I had a live show for a little while called The Turning Point. And right. it was to look at the turning points in our life, which we would call right now transformation, right? The things that
Perfect.
That maybe we thought of as being a problem, but that problem pushed us into the next level and next version of who we are. And that happens to me kind of all the time. I mean, I'm no joke. I'm so tapped in – sometimes that I'll get clarity on something I've been holding for a year or 2 years, like Fit to Love, the book. I didn't look to start a podcast. I never did. In fact, I didn't start out trying to be running an education department of personal training. I meet somebody, I get a hit, and I go, oh my God. And then I step into it and I'm like, huh, didn't think I'd ever be here. But I'm here and I love it. And so every you know transition or turning point in my life keeps happening. It's nowhere near done,
right.
of course. Right, because right. the podcast happened. I had written a book with the Knack Absolute Abs book, and that was my first published book by a publisher. And it was mm-hmm. a pain to write. It was a pain. It's a beautiful book with lots of pictures, and it's a picture book. But my goodness. No, never again. But when I was writing, I didn't even want to write it. I had gotten an email from an agent saying, hey, do you know anybody that could write this book? And I immediately responded and said, well, I could, but how about this topic? And I already had two or three book proposals ready to go. And I wanted to pitch those to this agent. And she's like, okay, well, but you'd be perfect for this book. I'm like, great. I don't want to write that book. I don't want to write a book about abs.
Right.
First of all, you shouldn't be writing a book about abs. If I'm going to teach somebody how to use their core, I need a video, not a still shot. And anyway, long story short, I wrote the book. But the book didn't reflect who I was in my sort of total being. And in at some point, they had called me and said, okay, we have good news and bad news. Because they're mm-hmm. a company that puts out a lot of books every year. And I said, okay, they said, well, what do you want first? I'm like, I don't care. So they said, well, the good news is we're keeping your book. And I was thinking, okay, I didn't realize that there was a – I mean, they've already paid me. I didn't realize there was a possibility that the book was going to go away. We're going to keep your book,
right.
but we're going to push it from a – I think it was August 2008 release to – or August – just no, it was December 2007 release to an August 2008 or something like that. Okay, mm-hmm. So they pushed it out like 8 months. And I had this whole marketing wow. plan built in for this. So I cried for about an hour because I felt sad. But then I realized and I believe that there's a reason for this. What is the bigger yeah. reason that this is happening right now? This is a gift. And of course, I went, and I had the clarity. The clarity was, this book does not represent you. You're about to put money and effort into creating a best-selling book that that you want people to identify this is your brand. Well, that's not your brand. That's someone else's brand. So now write your own book. So that's how Fit to Love was born. And that's how Fit to Love was born. So Fit to Love was born. It was a book first. And then the publisher had kind of stopped publishing. I had to find a new publisher. I went out looking. I had a business partner. We were at a crossroads about it. It was frustrating. And then I put it down. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put it down. Put it down October of 2013. Mm-hmm. March of 2014, I go to a writer's workshop. And I'm in the writer's workshop, and I'm there for a new book, a new idea. And as I'm sitting there, that book went away. Fit to Love came back into the forefront, and I found a new publisher. And then I had the idea about the podcast. So I learned about podcasting I was open to the workshop. I'm like, I'm just going to be open to whatever happens. So I came in with one intention, left with something completely different and way more. It wasn't just about writing a new book. It was about republishing the old one, getting a new publisher, and now starting a 6-day-a-week podcast show. And so, again, each of these little transitions is about – so for me, the advice or what I would tell people is to pay attention to the clarity points and to know that when you have something that you can't control or that's frustrating or you can't find an answer for, let it – put it down. Walk away. The vibration and the frequency of the problem is different than the frequency of the answer. And when you're beating the drum of the problem, you're not in the same vicinity of the answer. You have to put it down and walk away and allow divine timing or clarity or your subconscious or your higher self or whatever you want to put in there guide you into the right and perfect time, just like a surfer in the ocean on a wave. You can't sit there on a surfboard and demand a wave. That's not how it works. You have to be able to feel the ocean and go, oh, it's coming, and then get on and then find the perfect timing to ride it.
Right. I love that. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. That's huge golden nugget right there. So, two-part question now. What was the best part about your transformational moment? Or any of them?
Well, that's the best part. You know, I'll talk about the podcast. So when I was there at that that writer's workshop, and I learned about podcasting, and I was like, oh my God, because prior to this, I had felt all kinds of fun people. I met with a psychic for fun up in Ojai, and I love her, and she's great. And I told her, I feel like a backed up hose. I feel like someone turned the water on and then folded the hose in half, you know, like, and then the water keeps trying to get out, but you folded it so it can't. Because I have all of this information, all of these ideas, all the things I want to share, and I don't know where to put them. Because at that time, I was still pigeonholed in the fitness industry by other people, not by me. And any time with clients, I would want to suggest something or to share something I thought or was learning about. It didn't feel like I was given permission to do that. Some people let me, but some people didn't because they're like, well, I hired you for weight loss. Like, I don't need you talking to me about spirituality or emotion. And to me, I'm like, they're all connected. They're all connected. And to me, I'm like, it's a no brainer. But for a lot of people, they're like, no, that's not what I hired you for. So when I was at this writer's workshop and I learned about podcasting, oh my God, the relief and the freedom that comes from the clarity of what to do with all this passion, all this energy. Make a podcast. Put it there. Yeah. Do 5-6 days a week so that each day of the week can be a different theme. And you can do all of it. And if someone doesn't like one day, so what? Maybe they'll like the first 3 or 4 days. But just do it. And so to me, that was one of the most freeing, exciting, exhilarating times was to have the answer and to have the clear laid out, the freedom to do my own thing. Again, that's why the acting profession was never going to work for me long term because I'm not going to go beg for a job. I'm going to create it. So here I am creating a show. People say, oh, do you want to be on, do you want to have your own show on television? I'm like, sure, but I already have my own show. I have a show and I'd rather more people come to my show. So I'm in control. And that's not about control, but, you know, I get to be the creative force and that no one gets to tell me, do it this way because I said so.
Right. No, absolutely. So the two part of that would be, what would be the worst part? I think you kind of mentioned, like, man, this wasn't so good, but what do you think was the worst part about it all?
Well, that time frame I was very smart about. I learned about podcasting in March, and I decided because it was going to be a whole new skill set of things, like learning how to audio edit, learning how to video edit, building a website, mm-hmm. which I did not do that part. But I gave myself 6 months. So I decided that I'd launch in September. So I launched Fit to Love right. in September of 2014. I had 6 months to record interviews, to learn how to audio edit, to get a, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was a great pace. It was a great pace. Now let's fast forward to the last book. the last book, The Invisible Fitness Formula, Five Secrets to Release mm-hmm. Weight and End Body Shame. Okay, that came out of the blue. Somebody emailed me and said, we want to publish your next book. And I was like, is this a joke? And and they're like, no. I'm like, okay, what's the catch? What do I have to pay? They're like, nothing. I'm like, okay, what's the deal? So now I have a publisher wanting to publish my book. There's no catch. They pay for it. We split profits. Okay, great. Now what? Well, do I have books? Of course I have ideas for books. I have more ideas right. flowing out of me every day than I can ever do anything with. So right. so I decided, well, this is the push I need to get a book done. So I decided to work backwards. I said, when are we going to launch it? So let me work backwards so that I know when I need to get to the manuscript. So I put myself on a ridiculous timeline. And, you know, so but the worst part about the clarity, the worst part about understanding the matrix of what you want to do. See, when it came to Fit to Love and the podcast, that was it. Like the podcast, that was the product. And I'd put in the books and I already created mm-hmm. products and I'd sell all those things. But the podcast was the product. The podcast was the goal. So now we're here and, you know, a couple of years later, I'm now writing a new book. And, oh my gosh, I have clarity and excitement about five things that need to happen along with this book, a transformational program that goes along with the book to make sure that you actually get the results that you want. Because you know what I don't – what bugs me is when people say they want change, they buy a book, right. they read it, and they don't do it. And it's like, well, did you want change? Did you want change? I do. Well, then how come you didn't do what I said? You said you want change. Well, you know, right. but it's the nature of the beast. So I created a five-month video program that literally goes step-by-step through the book over 5 months to do every single thing I suggest in the book so that you get right. the result you want. And it's not overwhelming, and I lead you through it the whole entire time. So I created this program. I also created a membership program. I also had a book nice. Launch, and I also published the book. And I did that all in, like, 4 months. And that was
wow.
crazy. That was which is why it's crazy. Like you said, oh, I'm so impressed with what you're doing and it's a lot of stuff. I'm like, great. Cause this year has been about out of balance for me. It's none of this has been because I have to, it's because I want to,
right.
but I got too excited that I tried to put too much in an unrealistic time frame. So the problem and the downside sometimes of having the clarity and the passion and the insight about what it is you want to create is that we get so excited that we don't balance sort of the humanness of it. The fact that 6 months for a podcast was perfect. 4 months to mm-hmm. write a book, do a book launch, do a membership, do a 5 month transformational program. No. Too much. too much. All right. Too right. much for everything. So the downside is the overwhelm that comes from the clarity sometimes about what you want to create and learning how to trust and pause mm-hmm. and determine if, you know, is this the best way to do that? Like, can you slow down?
Yeah.
Can you, yeah. So right. that would be the downside.
Yeah, but it worked out okay. So awesome.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm suffering a little for it. I'm trying to recover from having adrenal fatigue this year. But yes, it is all working out. And like I said earlier, every contrast, every problem is really an opportunity to learn something new and to do it differently
sure.
next time.
Yeah, absolutely. So in all of this, who has been your biggest influencer?
My biggest influencer?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good question because I don't – while I believe I have role models, I guess I'll just go there with influencers. Sure. I don't follow like a lot of people. I like people, but I don't necessarily go, oh, I want to sure. be that person, right? Because
right.
because of, the again, that sort of integration. I would say the closest role model that I have – would be Dr. Christian Northrup. And
okay.
it's because she really represents all the things that I talk about and she embodies all of them and she does them all and she writes about them. She's a physician who's medically trained and she's got her science. This is great. But she brings in everything from astrology to nonviolent communication to law of attraction. I mean, like, literally everything I love and do and integrate, she does too. The difference is I'm not a physician. But at some point in my career, earlier in my career, I thought, should I go to medical school? Because I was getting so into the science. And I learned the science and I appreciate the science and I know a lot of science. That could have been easily a path that I would have went down. But, you know, the medical industry is not, especially the Western medical industry, is not one I want to be a part of for their lack of health, actually. I don't call it the health industry. It's not, they're not in healthcare, they're in sick care. You only go when you're sick. And I'm in preventative care. I'm in functional medicine. You take care of yourself now so that you don't get sick. The point is you get out ahead of it so that the bad things don't happen because you understand science and what happens to the body, what happens when you eat these things, when you don't take care of yourself. So you get out ahead of it. So I would say Dr. Christian Northrup is definitely someone who I adore and love. I love Suzanne Summers. And then in terms of holistically, that would probably be, I mean, I love Tony Robbins and what Tony Robbins does. Where I don't, you know, I wouldn't say I follow Tony Robbins. I appreciate him. I love what Oprah's doing. And I love, you know, the information she spread out. I love Super Soul Sunday. So that's probably a good list to start.
Perfect. So who has been your biggest supporter?
My parents.
Awesome.
My parents, first and foremost, because they've been on the entire journey with me. And the entire journey. And next, of course, would be my husband. And let's see. After that, just my parents and my husband. I mean, there have been friends that come and go throughout the years. But yeah.
Sure. Awesome. Awesome. So what do you enjoy most about what you do?
The freedom to create whatever I want, whenever I want it.
I love it. Like, short to the point, like, that's it, you know? So how do you get people to get physically, emotionally, and spiritually fit? And you don't have to give away trade secrets or any of the coaching stuff that you, but I'm just curious, you know, how is it that you get them to be physically, emotionally, and spiritually fit?
Well, I can't get anybody to do anything, necessarily.
Okay.
But I introduce concepts. I empower them with education, but it doesn't mean everyone's ready or that they'll ever be ready. In fact, I have a client I've been working with for 7 years. God bless me and him. And last week, he had a fight with his wife. And got in this car and he screamed. Now he's a man in his 60s, early 60s, and he's a middle child. And so, you know, sometimes the phrase is you can't teach an old dog new tricks kind of thing. You know, there's resistance as you get older, you have resistance to things, especially men and emotions. So it's taken 7 years. And he screamed in his car. He came in and he said, I need to hit something today. I need to box. And I was like, oh, what's going on? And then he told me, he said, and I screamed and he said, I saw stars, but I felt better. He's like, so I think I understand what you're saying. And I looked at him and I looked at my watch and I went, how long has this been going on? Like, I've been trying to talk to him about, you know, back pain and how that's linked to emotion and repressed anger. I mean, 7 years, twice a week. And now there's been little blips of awareness and understanding and agreement throughout the time. It's not a black and white. He went from totally unaware and resistant to totally open and accepting. No, but I literally got the confirmation of like, oh, I totally get, like, I get it now. I'm like, wow. Okay.
That's
so
awesome.
I just do what I do. I am who I am. I meet people where they are as best I can. Sometimes where you are and where I am is too far away. And that's even with friends. And while I love and respect you and I want to have a relationship with you, it's sometimes too hard because the gap's too wide and I can't, and it's hard to ask someone when the gap is so wide to jump closer to you. That's sort of uncomfortable. And then sometimes me jumping closer to them doesn't honor who I am either. And so at that point, there's just an allowance of, well, hopefully in the future we'll reconnect, but maybe it's not a fit. And so I try to meet people where they are as best I can. It's not always a fit, and lead by example. There's nothing that I tell anyone to do that I have not done or tried myself. There is no pain or trauma that I expect you to be able to overcome that I haven't overcome myself or know someone who has. So I lead by example.
Right. Awesome. I love it. And there's a little bit of emotional intelligence in there that I hear, you know, about meeting people where they are and knowing kind of what's the fit, what's not the fit. Like, I mean, there's a little bit of emotional intelligence to that. I love it.
I would hope there's a lot of emotional intelligence to that. Right. I mean, I do because right. there's the, you know, there's the work of when you're in an industry that is a service providing industry, and it's definitely on a service providing for, like, let's say the body or the health. People will often, and I think it's the journey of any trainer, nutritionist, I don't know, body worker, esthetician, hair care stylist. I think it's the journey of people understanding that it's like leading the horse to water. You can't make them drink. So, but a lot of people take it personally when their clients don't listen to them. And I did at first, but you learn that it's not your job. You do your job and your part, and that's what you do. And they are responsible for the rest of it. And when I first started my company, I modeled it after a company that I worked for, and the model was very dependent based. It was dependent on the type of client who needed a trainer, which meant they would never do anything on their own without a trainer. And also the employee model that I had was also very dependent, that I had to go out and basically hunt the deer to provide it for everybody else. And what I learned after doing that for about 2 years is that I don't like that model. I like the independent model, which is you know, people that have worked with me now for years and years don't need me. They can do their workouts, and they do their workouts on their own. Why they keep me around is because things like the emotional piece, sometimes it's like a therapy session as well as an exercise session. And because they trust that as their aging bodies continue through exercise, that I will keep them safe, because they don't understand what I do about the joints and about exercise and how it impacts your joints over time and creates injury. So they keep me around for the safety aspect. They trust me on that. But they don't need me. They will exercise without me. Maybe not twice a week. Maybe not for an hour. Maybe not as great as they will do it with me. But they don't. It's a different model. And same thing with anybody that I work with. Again, it's an independent model, not a dependent model.
Right. No, I absolutely love that. So if you had to go back, would you do anything different, or would you change anything that you've done along the way?
Yes. I don't really have very many regrets in my life. Probably I can count them on one hand, and it's less than my five fingers. But if I had to go back, the one thing, because I was so good at so many things that when I started the business, because I had already, like, working in the gym, I helped out when I was always finding things to do. When I didn't have clients and I was having to work the gym floor and there was nobody there, I would organize or file something, or I would do the payroll, or I would do something. I would always be busy, and I could do all the administrative tasks, which is why when I started my own business, I thought I could do all of it. And I did customer service, provide the training, hire the employees and the other people, get the client, do the paperwork, do the filing, do all that kind of stuff. I did all of it very well, except one thing, which was the budgeting.
the budgeting
and the money. I'm not a spreadsheet person. Yeah. While I can do them, it's not my strength. Remember, math and science, not my strength. So I wish what I would have done differently was to acknowledge or take some kind of strength finders test at that point to say, what am I really good at? Because you can't be great at everything. And I wasn't, but I learned the hard way that I wasn't good at that. And I would have liked to have been more proactive about bringing on somebody early on, whether it be someone I bartered with or, you know, paid part time to do what I wasn't good at and what I didn't like.
Perfect. Awesome. So what do you think was the best resource that you've used during your journey?
Best resource?
Yeah, what was the greatest resource? I've got answers like it was the experience, it was you know, a guy that I met, there was an investor, there was a book, and I like where all of the different answers come from this. So I always ask, like, what is one of the best resources that you used? And one guy says, oh, tenacity, definitely tenacity. Like, if you're an entrepreneur, you have to have some kind of grit. I was like, all right, perfect. So what do you think was the best resource that you've used so far?
Well, I love your title, and I would have to agree and feel like, you know, I am about – and so resilience, but I didn't really understand that I was good at that until you have to go through it, right? Like, until it gets tested over and over again. And you're like, oh, right. I'm resilient. right? You don't know that the first time you get tested. You know that after the 10th or 20th time you get tested. But I'm resilient. But I would say in terms of tools, honestly, the law of attraction. The work of Abraham Hicks has probably been the underbelly of everything since 2000. And let's see, I moved here in 2000. And I learned about law of attraction in around 2002, 2003. And so since then, that has been the support. And it was when I first heard Esther Hicks channeling Abraham say, "You are the creator of your own reality."
Yep.
When I heard that, I was driving and I thought, I went, "Oh my God, wait a minute. What? I create my own reality?" And to me, that meant, well, if I don't like something, that means I get to change it. And so to me, that was totally empowering. And it took all the blame, all the chance, all the luck, all the frustration with anybody else or anything else away. It's all about where I am and what I'm attracting. And so that just was a huge shift for me.
Yeah. No, I absolutely love the law of attraction. And I didn't even know what it was until I became a resilience implementer. And I started doing all kinds of research and I started learning. I'm like, dude, like you can literally ask the universe for something. Like you can just do that, you know? And so what I love about the law of attraction the most, you know, is it simplifies that belief, you know, whether you have positive or negative thoughts. And there's so much fact-based positive psychology around that theory, you know?
Right.
And I think Barbara Fredrickson is one of the ones that I use the most. Barbara Fredrickson has a theory called the broaden and build theory. And her broaden and build theory is basically the law of attraction. It says that every positive emotion builds on itself and every negative emotion builds on itself. And so if you have a bunch of positive emotions that you're constantly thinking about and you're spotlighting, it's going to create a buffer for challenges and you'll attract more positive blessings. However, if you have a lot of negativity in your life and all you focus on are the negatives, that is all that you will attract are the negatives and you'll become a negative person. And you get stuck in this little toilet bowl. So there's an upward twister and a downward twister. And you just have to figure out, you know, kind of where you want to ride at. But when I heard the broaden build theory, I was like, no way. And Barbara Fredrickson is a researcher over here in North Carolina at the UNC Chapel Hill College. And she's absolutely incredible. And I love Abraham Hicks. I read a lot of his stuff. And it's just incredible. So, yeah, that's a great resource. Abraham Hicks, Law of Attraction. It's good stuff. Perfect. So talk about where you're headed now. What kind of new adventures, businesses, family, what do you got cooking up for the rest of 2017 and into 2018?
Well, I'm doing my first live event that I have done in a long time in January of 2018, and it's called Releasing What Weighs You Down. Yeah, and it's really an event for people who are conscious and aware that they've got emotional blocks, and it really can apply to anybody in any way. So whether it be a personal relationship block or a health and weight loss block or a work, you know, a work and passion block, we all have, you know, our childhood stuff. We have the way that we look at the world. We have our traumas and triggers and our habits and patterns that, like you just mentioned about the study, like if you perpetuate sort of victimization and negative thinking, then you just keep attracting all of that. And how do you get out of that cycle? And, you know, or in a relationship, why do you keep getting triggered by this thing? And how do we empower you, heal that so it doesn't happen again? Or how can you respond differently to it? It's going to happen, but you don't have to be the same. So to me, healing is that you're different in the same situation. It's not about avoiding situations. It's not about avoiding people. It's not about avoiding pain. You heal so that you're different in the same situation. And so releasing what weighs you down, just sort of, again, one of those clarifying moments, because I knew I was going to do an event.
Sure.
And I was actually going to do it after the book, like not too long after the book. And I was like, whoa, stop. Like, this is too much, too much. Like, you've overloaded. So then I got clear on, like, when would I do it and what would it be called and who's going to present with me and what's the curriculum going to be like. And releasing what weighs you down just came to my mind because there isn't a person alive that doesn't carry around some kind of baggage stopping them from either being their best self, making more money, finding that relationship, being happy at in their job or in their career. So releasing what weighs you down, January 2018.
January, and where's it going to be?
So the live event will be in Los Angeles, and there's a limited amount of seats. So if anyone's interested, go to releasingwhatweighsyoudown.com. There's also a virtual ticket. So for people that there's just absolutely no way they're going to make it here, January of 2018, 12th to the 14th, although I do have people flying in from all over the place, by the way. If you are wanting the virtual ticket, you'll get the sessions after it's over for you to do at home on your own time in the sequential order in which it's presented, but you'll get the virtual ticket. So you can, everyone can benefit from the event if you get a virtual ticket, but I would love to attract all the perfect and right people who love the work, understand the concept, want the mind, body, spirit integration and the community. You know, that's the other thing too. I had some people who were struggling with, I'm getting shame from my family and about the money. And I was like, you need to manifest this to be there, because what happens is when you're in your life and you're in your world, because I, back to Law of Attraction in the podcast, you know, one of the things that came out of the podcast for me was rebrand. Once I did two seasons of the Fit to Love podcast show, I rebranded, and each one of those different days of the week became its own show. Mm-hmm. And what started out as a guilty pleasure for me of Law of Attraction on my Freedom Friday. Well, when I rebranded and republished all the shows in their own channel, all of a sudden the clear winner was Spirit, Purpose, and Energy. And that show's about Law of Attraction. So here I now have this community of amazing people who want transformation and change, who are doing the work, who are doing the visualizations, and we have a community, and we do these challenges for a month, every couple months. And people are wanting to connect. They're hungry to connect with more people who believe this, who think this, who act on this, who practice this, who talk about this. And so so it's not just an event for the personal, I need to get through this issue. It's the, oh my God, I want my tribe. Where's my tribe? Why do I feel so different in my family? No one talks like this in my family. I can't find too many friends that are that interested, which is why they find the podcast, get excited about the podcast, come into the Manifestation Challenge group, are excited to see people doing this work. And now I want it to bring us together live in person so people can actually go, oh, you're just like me. Oh my God, there are more people like me. I'm not weird. I love this. This is amazing. I now have resources. I now have support, knowing that other people are on the same journey. And so the event is really this community building, as well as personal empowerment and releasing stuck and blocked emotions and energy to get you to your personal goals. But there's a higher purpose here. So it's that community.
I love that. That's amazing. And what were the dates?
January 12th to the 14th.
Perfect. Perfect. So here's your moment, shameless plug, and you kind of already did, but shameless plug. You can plug a friend quote, your websites, Facebook, products. You can plug whatever you want. This is your time to shine. Shameless plug moment. Go.
Okay. Well, I would love everybody to come to the event or buy a virtual ticket for Releasing What Weighs You Down, and that is Releasing What Weighs YouDown.com. There is no T in that. It's not weight. It's ways, releasing what weighs you down.com. And I've got a bunch of free tools on my website. That's the best place to go. You can get all the social media links there. There's at least 6 different free tools, from quizzes to checklists to a 30-day free manifestation group challenge that we do. That's all at jjflizanes.com. That's 2 J's. LIZANES.com, jjflizanes.com. Click on free tools and resources and have at it. So that's 2 things, releasingwhatweighsyoudown.com and jjflizanes.com.
Awesome. So as we wrap up, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
Everything that happens to you happens for a reason, and you have the ability to utilize that to grow and to expand, or not to grow and to resist and to blame. Take every opportunity you can to not make it about you being a good or bad person, leave the judgment aside, but to really embody, well, how did I create this? And what can I do differently? What do I need to heal? The more responsibility you can take for every single thing in your life, to how people respond to you, to what happens to you, to how you feel and how you think, the more you can do that, then you can shift and grow, expand and change it so that you really release all of it and become the happiest, healthiest person that you can be.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. So we always end the show with a call to action. So what should someone do today? We talked about, you know, coming to the live event. We talk about picking up your books that that you have and listening to your podcast. Should someone set a goal, plan something to take action? What would be the first step?
Well, if you've listened to this entire show and are at all inspired or intrigued about any of it, the first thing that I would ask you to do is to just identify what is it that you want, what feelings are coming up, like what are you envisioning for yourself, and what's one thing you can do to move closer to that.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. It has been an absolute honor to have you on my show and meeting you in San Diego, and I am completely in awe of the things that you have accomplished. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Sean. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you making this extra time and having me on. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And I wish you the best in your event and any other launches that you have, and have a great 2018. So Life Transformation Radio listeners, if you've been listening to this and anything has resonated with you or stood out, connect with JJ. She's incredible and amazing, and she will knock your socks off. Connect with her on Facebook, Twitter, go to the website, jjflazanes.com, and connect with her. She is absolutely amazing. If anything has resonated with you more so that you want to come on Life Transformation Radio on iTunes, subscribe, rate, and review. I love reading the comments. I love connecting with the listeners. And you can send me an email at Sean, S-E-A-N, Sean at The Success Core, C-O-R-P-S, at TheSuccessCore.com. I'd love to chat with you. So as we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the values that you hold deep in your heart. I call that living your brand. And until next episode, have a great day.